I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, Podditors. I hope you're well. In this week's episode, I speak to journalist and author Annie Lord. Annie also has a dating column in Vogue, and her debut book, Notes on Heartbreak, which I absolutely loved, came out last year. We have a really fun discussion. We talk about breakups, being single in your mid to late 20s, partying, the fear of aging, and so much more. I absolutely loved speaking to Annie, and I really hope you enjoy listening. As always, please do rate, review, and subscribe as it helps other people to find the podcast. Bye. Obviously, we first met. It was quite fortuitous, actually, because we met at an event and I'd literally just come out of like a long relationship.
Yeah.
And your book, I don't think was out yet, but you were telling me about.
Yeah, I was writing it. I remember because we were at a book launch, weren't we? And then I remember we went out for a cig and then, no, you can't say that.
No, you can. Don't worry.
And then, no, I just remember us getting on really well and then going on this like mad drunken night where we ended up in All By One.
I know, and then got a rickshaw back to Balham. And that was the first time we met and we were up till like 5 a.m.
Yeah. And I remember at the beginning of the night, I was like, oh, this is dangerous. Like, we're not good at like calling it a night. And you're like, oh no, I'm that person. And then we didn't call it a night.
We never called it a night. And it was a Monday.
Yeah.
I think. But it was like pre-Christmas. So I felt like it was like.
Yeah. It was festive.
So I read Notes on Heartbreak last year, at the beginning of last year. I think it was one of the first books I read and I loved it. And I wonder, for people who haven't read it, can you tell us a bit about the book, like the story, yeah, how it came about?
So it's basically a memoir about me and my ex breaking up, but it's also kind of, I would say, like a meditation on love and heartbreak. And yeah, and just it goes through like lots of different things that sort of influenced me or that I took from when I was going through the heartbreak, like different films or like songs or books and things like that that I took things from. And it's kind of written in like quite a stream of consciousness way, just as I'm like processing things. And it was kind of like almost was like a diary for me as I was going through it, because people are like, oh, how was it to, you know, go back to how you were feeling at that time? But I was literally sort of writing it as I was going through the breakup myself, and it just really helped me process like all the feelings I was having. And it took me a long time, but I still think it made it quicker than if I hadn't have written it.
I feel like heartbreaks, like having a heartbroken or going through a breakup, is one of those things that they never get easier. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you have them, and I've had about 12. They always are so difficult.
Oh no. I was like really banking it wouldn't be bad the second time.
But what, how did that change like your timeline? Because obviously like you're in your 20s, it was quite a serious relationship. You maybe thought this could be the person that was your forever person. Like, how much did that change your trajectory, and did it kind of knock you? Because even though we're still young, like, I think when you're having these quite serious relationships, it does suddenly jar you, because you have to like recalculate all of these plans you had in your head for the future.
Yeah, it's really weird actually, because like, you know, people are like, oh, you'll do so much better without him, or like everything happens for a reason. Like, it's so weird because like my life is so different now to when I was with him, and like it's just each thing that happens seemed to come out so good. But it's like, I don't know if that is because of anything other than like, when you are who you are, things will turn out in a good way. It just seems like in retrospect, it was because of certain things that happened, say someone breaking up with you, that it happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just like, you know, he broke up with me and then I wrote an article about it, and then I got an agent, and then I got a book deal, and then I got a Vogue column, and then I've made so many friends. Do you know what I mean? It's like a weird thing. Like, I wonder, but I think maybe if like, you know, we'd have stayed together, I could have thought the same thing about if we'd have broken up. Do you know what I mean? I might be like, oh my God, I've written a book about. Yeah. So I actually think probably similar good things would have happened. It might have just been a lot later down the line. Like, I wasn't ever thinking about writing a book when I was in my 20s and I was still struggling to get into journalism. Like, I think it would have been like, oh, you know, when I'm 30, 40, when I'm really confident, I'm going to try and take some time out of work and do that. It just all happened a lot quicker.
I think I've had the same experience, but after a breakup, really good things happen. And you can cleverly, like you say, retrospectively be like, oh my God, it's because I'm free from the relationship. And I have found every time that I've been like come into being single after a relationship that wasn't working, I have kind of flourished. And I think a bit like Moya, maybe Moya did an article the other day about how we're very quick to kind of turn men into villains. And I think sometimes it's really fun to be like, oh my God, it's because of them. Yeah. But maybe it's just because it doesn't mean that they were evil or they were really awful or terrible, but it's just that the fact that you're no longer in a relationship that just isn't right, maybe on both sides,
yeah,
you then have space, and also you have so much time back. Like when you're in a really serious relationship, I think you don't realize how much time you're just spent investing in that relationship, even if it's just like hanging out in the evenings together or cooking together or spending your weekends. Whereas when you're single, you do get like 40% of your time back, if not more.
Yeah, completely. Like you go, I think like when you're in that amount of pain, you do go through like this rapid growth. And I think it's like, yeah, even like, you know, at the beginning, I think you focus on everything you did wrong, and then you kind of focus on everything they did wrong and you get really angry. And then I think you just think about the whole situation and all the things that are wrong. But like, it's really frustrating that you can't, like afterwards I felt like I, you know that crazy meme where that guy's like pointing at the like noteboard and there's like this like lines of thing, like, you know, like a detective.
Yeah.
You feel a bit like that, where you can just see everything that's wrong and you can see that you could have fixed it if you were in it, but it's like you can't fix it while you're in it, only after. And it's like, I think, yeah, I think that's why you do just progress in so many ways so quickly, because you've just had so much time to calibrate everything that was going on. It's really funny now, I've been single for like 3 years or something, like how... I think if I was with someone now, it would really throw me, in the sense I've become so stuck in my ways. And like, I'm like, I wake up and I read for half an hour and I go to the gym and then I do this and I'm going to eat this meal. And you become so particular because you have all this time to really like settle into how you want to live. And I think if someone like entered that, I would feel so anxious, and like, not in a good way, but I've become so rigid almost in my routines. Like, I think love makes you a bit crazy and like, everything gets thrown in the air a little bit.
I also think I have a couple of girlfriends who've been single for probably a similar amount of time, and they were like, the longer you're single, the harder it is to see why you would ever want to introduce someone back into your life, because like you said, you have all these like almost like freedoms because you can do things as you want to. And I do think sometimes in a relationship as a woman, there was that article the other day, I'm gonna butcher it, I think it was in the Guardian, and she was like, women bend so naturally that... Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that's true, that we are better at adapting, especially in like heterosexual relationships, towards what the man wants or needs. And so we do actually like all of these things where like, I wake up in the morning and read all that stuff. It's like, you should be able to do that in a relationship. But actually, often I do think as a woman, we do take that role of sort of not pandering, but there is some subconscious like subservience there. I think it's still left over from like...
I do think I've maybe got to the point where I need someone to like... You know, I think I have become a bit rigid in my thing. I feel like I maybe would benefit from someone being like, relax, you can do that. Or like introducing a bit of... I don't know. I am kind of chaotic though in other ways. But it's... Yeah, like I guess when you're single, you don't get challenged much on your lifestyle because your friends... I suppose they could, but... They're not, your flatmates might notice certain habits, but yeah, I think when you're in a relationship, someone can be like, have you ever thought about like the way you're doing this, you know, going to the gym this much might be a bit weird, or like that kind of stuff. I just think I've like, you know, that stereotype of like a bachelor, yeah, his bachelor pad. I just think I'm like that.
I love that, but
I'm super happy, but it's just, I wonder what it will be like in a relationship again. Like I'm quite intrigued to see what would happen.
But maybe you'd find someone that has that groove already, because if that's like a really massive contrast to how you were living when you were with a partner, maybe if you met someone else, they would also be someone who likes reading in the morning and go to gym, which, by the way, doesn't sound like something someone needs to be telling you off for.
It was just me trying to like flex on the podcast.
I'm like, I love how you say that, and then we're like, but when you get a rickshaw back to Balham from Soho at 5 in the morning, that's fine, but waking up and reading in the morning, that is really bad. Do you think, because I always wondered this, I do think this is true, that you can't have everything right, like everything going well. Like I saw a tweet the other day, which I thought was so true. It was like, how is everyone doing life? How are you managing relationships, work, friendships, exercising, getting like all at the same time? And I do sometimes think I've found that like when I have come out of a relationship, often it is my work that does really well, because I think you have more time to balance things out. Do you think that you could find time now that you've been single, for would you be looking for another relationship or love?
I don't know. God, it's so true that like I at the minute I went to like see a posture specialist because like my top of my shoulder started hurting, and like he's giving me all these back exercises to do, and I'm like, oh my god, like now I've got to fucking sort my back and then I've got to like, you know, drink like floss and like you know, like warm up before you go to the gym or like eat veg. It's just like so many things, and I'm just like, I don't understand you. I wonder if you did all those things in a day, like whether you could
do
like, earn a living. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think you could genuinely fill your day with like those tasks that everyone's meant to do but doesn't do. I have tried to start flossing because I've literally never flossed in my life, but I was like, because I keep paying for like teeth whitening, and I was like, I should probably just floss. But yeah, it's so true. Like I've definitely feel like family, friends, work and relationships, like one is floundering, and I defo like would say probably relationships isn't, but I also would kind of rather that the most people end up flounders, because it's like the other things feel so essential to my happiness, whereas like having a partner doesn't much. Although also with part of that is like, I think like you might not need a boyfriend, but maybe happiness and romance could be like flirting or nights out or like masturbating, or like there's so many romantic things that could take that role if you weren't with someone. And maybe in that sense, it is kind of still like, I am still fulfilled in that way. It just might not be the typical thing. But yeah, do I want a relationship? I don't know. I almost think it's weird when people go out on dates and they're like, oh, it's not what I'm looking for right now. I'm looking for this. Like I could be looking for like to have casual sex or looking for a relationship. It depends who I meet. Do you know what I mean? Like someone could be good enough where I'm like, God, I could spend so long with you. Like that would be cool. Or it could be someone where it's like, this could just be fun for us to hang out for a bit. And it's funny that people dismiss things so much when it
because
isn't
they have
what
like,
they want.
Actually, that's not what I'm looking for right now.
Yeah, like who knows what they're looking for? Do you know what I mean? Like maybe you get to a point where if you want that whole like wedding kids thing, that makes sense that you would look for a specific thing. But unless you want that, like,
I really like what you said about, because I agree, I think we're not taught enough when we're like younger how important it is to have like really value your friendships, your friends that like never think that's going to go, and like try and make your career if you can. I mean, loads of people hate my work, but something satiating, and like have all your hobbies. And then in a weird way, like romance coming in last, I kind of think makes sense, but we're taught to like value romance so much. And then actually that can be really isolating. Like loads of people get into relationships, they stop seeing their friends. And then when you're in that love bubble, that's amazing. But then when you come up for air, you look around and you haven't actually got anything else.
Yeah.
Whereas actually it is kind of a nicer way to live if you're nourished in every area, and then you're flirting or you're having casual sex, or you've got like people to text, or that almost in a weird way sounds more fulfilling. And there are those studies about how women, like when you get married or when you enter into a really serious relationship, their happiness levels actually go down because it takes away so much of those other external things that you get from life.
It's interesting. I remember like really thinking when I was in a relationship that when we were like breaking up, like thinking I would rather be with you than be happy, like that felt like that. And it's so weird to be consciously aware that I might be happier on my own, but being like, no, I need this, like I can't imagine not having this. And it's so strange.
No, I've definitely felt that before, when you know it's like, or even that feeling of, I know we're not right together and I know both of us will be happy with someone else, but I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you think
I
you
want
wouldn't
to
know.
Keep you.
Yeah.
It's weird. I think it's because it is like a drug and it's like an addiction. And even if you're not codependent, I think relationships are inherently, on some level, have like some semblance of codependency, especially when you've known each other for such a long time. And I think that was something like the way you wrote about, I told you this, but when I was reading the book, it was like I had a really good breakup and I wasn't that sad about it because we left at a point when we were kind of ready to leave it, but I was crying more reading your book than I cried about my breakup, because it reminded me of all the times when my heart had been really broken, because the way you wrote about it was like so beautiful.
Oh, wow, thank you.
What did you find that experience of sharing that, because it's quite a vulnerable, you're very candid and open in the book and you're really young. Were you concerned about like exposing yourself that much? And obviously the book's done really well. How's that shifted things? Was that nerve-wracking, or did you just focus on the writing and then forgot about the audience?
I definitely was focusing on the writing, and like I am someone that does lack shame, I would say. Like when I meet people, I definitely overshare a lot and I'm like, oh my God, I just nearly pissed myself running for the bus, or like da da da. And it's definitely like a way I bond with people, even if that is a strange or stupid way to bond with people. But then it's weird. Sometimes I do get moments. I think especially when it's women, I don't care at all. But sometimes like I had like a guy friend be like, oh yeah, I started reading it, I didn't realize you were that sad. And I just felt so like weird. And I was like, no, I was fine. Like, I guess it's like, it's almost like you're showing like things you might say to a lot of different people, but there's some people you wouldn't have said it to. And then they've seen it, which can be kind of weird. But I guess when you talk to people about it, they do talk in an abstract way. If they'd I think when people pick up on certain bits, I can be a bit, oh God, like, but yeah, I don't have to face that often, basically.
I can actually remember specific quotes. There's a bit when you're like, I think you're talking about having an orgasm and you're like, my petals came off one by one or something like that. And there's another bit also talking about a coming and you're like, and we fell into a milky sleep. Isn't that mad that I can remember the quotes?
That's so lovely.
My poor dad,
I was like, oh, I'm going to give you a redacted version, like almost like, you know, in like when they like cover it over with like black marker, but then I didn't, and poor guy read it. But
but you know what's funny, I think in the context of reading it as a broader thing, you can kind of like understand it more, and also knowing other people are reading it, do you think he could get out that separation, or do you think he was a bit like,
I don't know, I think my parents are just very tolerant. Yeah, I'm sure we probably skim and read some bits of as a coping mechanism. I don't know.
What do you think it's like? Have you learned much from that experience of that heartbreak and sharing it? And has it made you, I guess, if you've been single for 3 years, is that different from how you would have imagined you'd be approaching relationships? Do you think that you've learned a lot in terms of proper, because you really mediated on it. You literally wrote the whole book about, you know, finding love, losing that love, going through jealousy, heartbreak, wanting them again, everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I still go on about it so much. Like, and then did you ever catch yourself and be like, God, shut up. Like, why are you still talking about him? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll be on the phone to my mum and you're like psychoanalyzing something from like so long ago. And it's like, God, get over it. Like, yeah, I wonder if I would still be that harping on as much as I do, or if it's made it worse. Yeah, I don't know. I guess like, luckily and unluckily, it's just impossible to find like great men a lot of the time. So it's like, it's really hard. Like, It's a blessing and a curse that being single is quite, like, I don't see myself finding anyone for a long time, basically. Yeah, I don't really feel a pressure with that. And, like, I think I would like to write about myself in some capacity, like, forever. But I guess with dating, it would depend if I met someone I really liked. I would so love to read a column, like, where someone was writing about their relationship. But I guess, like, obviously that would completely depend on someone else. And I feel like it would just make it weird. But I feel like that would be so fun.
I feel like, I don't know if it's in Sex and the City or if this is actually an actual column, but I feel like there was someone, like, documenting the beginning, like, them falling in love when it was like, I guess you could do it if it was anonymous, but then the author would probably have to be anonymous to the partner.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. Like, really truthfully what it's kind of like, because you're right, everyone's sort of open talking about dating, and then the minute people are kind of together, it suddenly is like it's a no-go area.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because I've noticed, like, when I first wrote the column, I think maybe it was a confidence thing, but I would, you know, really write, describe the guy and the situation and like want it to be kind of gossipy. And then I like, it's funny, recently I've just not really described the guy, I've just been like redhead man or something. And it's like, I've noticed no one cares. And I think it's people just care about like how you were responding to something or how someone made you feel and not who they are. And like, that's been so nice and really taken a weight off, because I'm not embarrassing myself as much by like having to talk about someone I know and then them know how I feel about it. Like, I mean, people can probably read it and glean from it if it's them, but I'm not like massively describe. I don't know. That was something I didn't need to have done, really, which is quite nice.
How do they respond to like to being written about? Do you have to tell them beforehand, or?
Yeah, well, it depends. Like, if I go on a date and there's just nothing, I'll just write about it and just change enough where they wouldn't know it was them. Or like, if I like them, I've just said and they've known and I've like sent them bits, which is really weird. Or like, what I guess at the minute, it's funny because I'll write something and I'm like, they'll never know. And then like, I was in a smoking area with my friend the other day and I was like, oh God, he like mentioned something about like, oh, you must have liked him because you like wrote about it in the column or something. And I was like, oh, because I just really thought I'd and I just, the thought of him reading it and being like, oh yeah, she likes me, or sort of made me cringe so much.
It's funny how much we can betray, like, with our words or the way that we act about things without us, because there are, we do have blind spots to ourselves,
yeah,
where we think we're being like really clever or
coy. So slick.
Yeah, and it's funny how much you can give away. I guess you kind of are, in a way, living like the Carrie Bradshaw career? Is it like that? Is your life Carrie Bradshaw?
It's so funny actually, because it's such a glam job to say you have. And like, sometimes I love saying it, but then sometimes I was like, because I know now sometimes I don't say it when people are like, what do you do? I'm quite vague. I'm like culture journalist or whatever. Because like, I was in the dentist once, like my dentist, like I was such a child, but it was still like near where my parents live in Leeds. And so I'd go every like Christmas or like when I'm back for my birthday or whatever. And like, he was like, oh, what do you do? And I was, because I was at home, I was just in that proper like troll mode where I had like really horrible star print pajamas on.
In the dentist?
Yeah, like, and just like really greasy hair, like proper breakout. And I was like, oh, I'm a dating columnist for Vogue. And I think he must have thought I was lying. He was like, oh yeah, nice, nice. And then I was just like, he thinks I'm insane. So it's, yeah, that was weird. But, and then also sometimes I notice myself talking about in like a really icky way where like, I think I come off like quite stupid a lot of the time, and like I am quite ditzy and like say like 7 million times, sorry to everyone listening. And when I'm talking to people, sometimes I can tell they think I'm like stupid or don't really want to speak to me or like aren't really listening. And I'll just start like dropping in like career things, like about I've written a book, and then you just feel so icky after, because you're just like, that was such a cheap way of gaining respect. Because it's like,
we spoke about this before. I think we're having lunch and we're saying how sometimes people can think we're really dumb, so then we try and add in like really clever work. Because yeah. I think also if you're a blonde woman, I know I'm not that blonde anymore, who like dresses up and like likes going out and yeah. and has an interest in, I don't know, pop culture and fashion stuff, people, men especially, can just automatically, you can just see their eyes going, oh, she's thick. And so I will try and then insert something really clever. Usually then it will come out really wrong and be like word salad, and it's really embarrassing. But you are really clever. And the way you write, I told you this, would never be half the writer you are. Like, oh, the way that you write is just incredibly beautiful. And maybe you think, I think some people think through their mouths. I think completely. I process through my mouth. And I think you process through writing and your words. Yeah. And that's just, it's different communication, but you're obviously not dumb. But I know what you mean about, I've had that a lot of times when you just feel really like infantilized and reduced and you're like, you can't see me. I'm not
that
person.
Weirdly, sometimes I think I play into that role and kind of enjoy it. Like, not, I'm not so that person like at school, they like pretend to be dumb, but I'm just quite comfortable sometimes with people thinking that. And then I don't know, or I think because I'm quite a people pleaser, sometimes, for instance, like if someone's talking about something and I know about it, but I can tell that they're enjoying telling me about it, I'll like indulge that.
Yeah.
And then it's really stupid. Like, I don't know. I've had things where like someone's telling me about an album and I've listened to the album and I'm just nodding along. And that's horrible. Like, if I knew someone was doing that to me, I'd be so annoyed because it's just embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, yeah.
But I just do that sometimes. And I don't know why, because it doesn't make you people like you more, but yeah, it's just a weird habit.
I know what you mean. And also sometimes it's quite a safe place to let people have like low assumptions about you, because then you've got nothing to prove and you can just kind of hang back.
I think as well, when you're like, it's less of a, when growing up, when you're a woman, it's not as seen as an important thing about your identity that you're really smart. Like, I've never felt like I had to prove that, because it wasn't like, oh, I'll gain more respect from that, until later on when I went to uni and I was like, oh my god, I really want to be smart, like that's cool. But at school and stuff, it wasn't part of being popular being smart. So I'd like, if people think I'm dumb, it doesn't offend me as much as maybe someone that went to a different school or like was a guy or whatever.
Yeah, I completely agree. I definitely think now that I'm older, I don't, maybe it's cultural as well. I do think there's like been a cultural shift towards intellect being something that we like champion more in women. As you said, like when we were younger, it was literally just like, do you have a thigh gap? If not, which I never did. And so yeah, I agree. I think I value intelligence loads, and I feel like I've got way less clever since the pandemic. I don't know why, my brain's just like rotted.
Yeah. It was actually interesting. I was talking to Sean about this, and we were saying about like, would you rather be, I don't know who, my flatmate was the one who mentioned it, but she was saying about, would you rather someone think you're boring or ugly? And I was like, oh, 100%, I'd rather think that I was boring.
Really?
And then she was like, God, what? Like, I'm really confident in the fact that I'm good looking if someone thought I was boring. But then what became interesting is who we were thinking of saying it. So my mind immediately went to a guy in a bar.
Right.
So I was like, I don't care if you think I'm boring. I know I'm not boring. Like, cool, whatever. I want to be hot. And then someone like else was saying, oh, I thought of like a woman that I like respect and them thinking I'm boring. And then I was like, oh, obviously in that case I'd rather them think I was ugly. But it's so tragic. No, my brain went to, like, you know when it's like, who's like the objective like judge of you.
Your adjudicator in your head.
Yeah. It was like a man.
Really funny. Now I do worry about, because I think, and I'm learning this more and more, especially since I've been doing dry jam, which I cannot stop talking about, I realize I actually have a massive fear that I'm boring. And like a bit like you, like I am bad. I'm the friend that everyone can rely on to go out with them really. Yeah. And it's always, and I realize part of that, like since I've not been going out, I'm like, oh my God, is that actually me? Or am I just terrified of being boring and think that I'm, unless I'm like really loud, really fun, always being like a little bit obnoxious, that I'm actually really boring. And yeah. I realized like I'm trying to like interrogate, maybe that's where that's coming from, or I just do like having
God
fun.
Yeah, I relate to that so much, because I think especially when people put an expectation on that when you're out you're going to create fun, and I don't know if it's like a Gemini thing, but like very split personality, like I'm can sometimes go out and be like, I haven't had a single thought since I've sat here, like, and I'll be like watch. I remember having a thing recently where I was just in a real funk with socializing. I was at brunch with my friends and I was watching them and I was like, you're all so funny. Like, why are you hanging out with me? I have literally nothing to say. And I think part of it is like having friends where they appreciate like the waves of your moods and like how yeah. sometimes I can just be like, blah, 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 and then sometimes just complete flatline. I'm just there for vibes.
So I can be really, really quiet, and like my really close friends know that. Yeah. But if I'm in like a big group and people don't know that, if I'm in quiet, honestly, they will turn around and be like, is it only okay? And then, so I don't do it that much. And I'm trying to learn to be like, I don't always have to, I want to fill any, I feel like it's my responsibility in a group. If like, yeah. if there's an awkward moment or if there's silence, something, I've got to fill it. And I'm trying to sit back and be like, just observe.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You have, like, I know quite a few of your friends through work and stuff, and I love your friendship group. And you're and I know through articles people have written that lots of, or maybe it's not, maybe it is a friendship group, lots of people gone through breakups. And you're in a group of people that love, like, partying and love going out. And I feel like you're really lucky to have this, like, group of 20-somethings who all kind of have the same idea about loving dancing, loving having house parties, loving having raves. How do you think that differentiates your timelines from like other people? Do you feel like you guys are kind of held in a time warp in a little way because you've got such a big group of people who love doing the same thing? And I feel like you're allowed to be young, whereas I guess in like other careers, some people at the same age feel very kind of settled down in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely. Like, I think, and Defo, I mean, Bell Hooks talks about in like All About Love about, I think it's just, she talks about like the AA and like a sort of creating a kind of community of support and love. And like, I don't actually know if that's how she describes it, but I remember relating and thinking about like the group of friends I've got and like community and like how much you can create that feeling of support from like so many different places and people. And like, it makes me not feel like I need a partner in as much in a way at all. It's funny as well, because I was thinking when you were talking earlier, like, I am someone that's always been so fascinated with romance and like men, and literally go to sleep every night like creating stupid scenarios in my head about like men. And it's, I think it was like the other day I was thinking though, that I think what I've always found even more fascinating than that is like friends and being surrounded by really cool people and just feeling really loved and partying and stuff. Cause like, I remember like when it going to uni and like, being around low, I don't know, I just like being surrounded by a lot of people that know me, and you know, like obviously having a small group but then a wider one. And I don't know, my parents have always had like a lot of friends. I just think I was like, oh God, I've always even found that more romantic and fascinating than I have men, which is weird because I'm obsessed with men. So I'm saying a lot.
But I think there's something about having a friendship group where they can kind of carry your stories with them. It makes you feel, I feel like it distributes the weight of who you are as a person a bit, if that makes sense. Because you've got all of these people walking around who know maybe like your deepest, darkest secrets, but also like your silliest personality traits. And in that way, I think it like unburdens you or like unbridles you in a really tiny way of having to carry yourself through life, because you're all carrying bits of each other.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
So true. And like, I notice, you know, like when you're in a relationship and they see cute things about you and like maybe they like you know, on their phone, like went next to your name that's saved, like put a stupid emoji that like reminds them of it, and all these things. Like people, it's so nice having friendships where people notice that in you as well. Like
Moya was saying, oh, it's so cute when you like wrinkle the top of your nose when you laugh and stuff, and you know, things you wouldn't even think that other people would see, or like they would say I'm like a huge flirt, and it's, or that I like center myself all the time in conversations, like someone will be talking about themselves and I'm like, God, it's so funny, I'm like, me. And it's like, it's really nice feeling seen in that way. It's almost quite romantic. I feel like as I've gotten older, me and my girlfriends are more romantic with each other in that way, like talk to each other in a way that's, because you can have, like you say, you can have romance outside of romance, if that makes sense. And not reserving it for like one relationship. You can kind of spill out, even if it's being quite tactile with your friends, or like, I guess it's being intimate, not necessarily romantic, but you can be like, have intimacy with friendships in a way that I think we weren't necessarily taught. You were taught to kind of, because I think you're like me, you're quite a loving person. And like, sometimes that is too much. You can't just channel that into one partner. Sometimes that, some of that like lovingness is got to be like distributed amongst other people in your life.
What I love as well is like, you know, where you have got a lot of people around you that you love and stuff, like all the little sub, you know, where you're like hanging out with a group and it's kind of a weird mishmash of a few people, and it's like everyone's a different person with a different combination of people, like a different energy might arise between them people that like would be different with someone else that was like, you know, louder, you know, maybe the conversation be more meditative and like philosophical, or and then like more silly with other people, and it's like a weird patchwork of like vibes.
And it's like how you know if you've got certain things you want to go to, like which friend you'd invite for what kind of thing, or what kind of experience you want to have. You talk about in the book meeting some of these friends that we're kind of talking about. How did you find, because a lot of the things that people ask me on Instagram as well is how to make friends in your 20s, especially when you're like moving to London, it's such a busy city and everyone's got so much going on. So you've done well to like create this really strong network of people, which I'm really lucky to have met a couple of times and like been to some of your infamous parties that you guys host. But how did you find these friends? Do you find it easy to make new friends?
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's also, I mean, I guess like I literally met them because Moya had a house party that I went to. But I think, you know, other friends that I've spoke to have gone to parties. And I think like, if you're talking to someone and you get on it like, and you're just like, do you want to go do something next week? Like so many people would. And like, I think it just takes like going out and meeting a lot of people. And when you find someone you get on with, like being brave to like ask them on a friend date.
Do you know, I used to have such a weird thing where if it was my friend's friend, I would never like hang out with them on my own because I think that's their friend. Yeah. It took me years. I don't know why. It was a really weird block where I was like, I would meet a girl or guy, whatever, through a friend and I'd love them, but I just wouldn't speak to them outside of seeing them with my friend. And then one day someone did that, like, should we go and get a coffee or whatever? And I was thinking like, do I need to invite my friend? Like, I couldn't work out that you're allowed to have friends. And I think sometimes we can be like that at a party where you meet someone and you want to ask them and you feel like someone's going to say no, but you're right. Almost every time everyone's like, yeah, great. Yeah. Let's like, go and get a coffee or do something.
And it's like, I find it really cute when I see two friends hanging out.
Yeah,
it's really sweet. It's funny as well, like I had a house party for New Year's and like it was really, I don't know what I was doing all night, like I think I was just buzzing around like having 30 second conversations because I cannot remember what I was doing. But it was so funny, like the day after, like talking to friends and be like, oh, it's so much fun, I was meeting so and so, I was talking to so and so, and it's like, I was like, where was I? Because I would love to be talking to you too. And but it's so nice, like, you know, when you see your friends like getting on, it's really sweet.
I love trying to merge all my friendship groups, but it's quite hard to like get them together, but it is really fun when they meet and then they love each other loads.
Yeah,
it's so nice. I love that partying is such a big part of like the way that you lead your life, because I actually do think partying is like dying out.
Yeah,
I feel like parties don't, I feel like going out in London is doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah,
everything's kind of shut at 11 unless you're going to house parties. But how do you facilitate that? Because I think sometimes, I think there's so much to be said for the importance of music and partying and like real parties.
God,
and
it's
like
so funny how much it occupies my brain, especially what I'm gonna wear at them. You know, you just like, I love putting together a silly little look and like getting really excited to wear it. Because when people are like, oh, where do you go out in London, I can't even think. But a lot of the time it's like friends that like put on nights and stuff, but there are like fun places where you can like rent them in London for like, we found a few places that like 200 quid and like we just got a couple of friends to DJ and stuff like that. It's really fun. Yeah, it's such a like good way of like, you know, you like the phrase like blowing off steam, like I often feel like I literally need to do that, where it's just like a lot of stuff in my brain and I just need to go and be like thoughtless for a while and just dance and just chat. And it's yeah, it's really fun. Like, and it's always nice looking forward to something.
I just think that we come, I think, because of like this health consciousness thing, and I think it's like Gen Z more, but there's like everyone kind of goes to the gym in the morning, or goes to the yoga, or goes to classes, or does things which are like, I guess, the opposite end of the spectrum of a party, but kind of a similar vibe. It's like your you time, whatever. But usually they're like, you're not talking to anyone, you're not really making friends.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's kind of swapped out parties in their purest form for like, and kind of see them as something we shouldn't be doing, like nights out or staying out late is kind of seen as like reckless or silly. And actually, I think, like you said, like parties are great for meeting people. I think it's good for your soul to dance. I think it's a very like primal thing to like get sweaty in a room with loads of other people and flirt innocently or non-innocently or whatever.
God, yeah, I often think this, where it's like, obviously life, I think, is about balance, and you can't be going out all the time. You do start to feel like very worn down. But so many of my friends that love partying and are good at it, it's like they're always like, oh, there's such amount of guilt about it. And I think that doesn't make sense when you're getting too fucked up. But it's like, you enjoy this so much, and a lot of people want to go home at 12 and like you don't. Isn't that, that's fun?
Yeah.
And you've got good stamina for it.
I also think sometimes they like going to parties when you have loads of fun. Like me and my girls I went out so much last year. And I went out with another group of friends, and they were getting absolutely wrecked just drinking. And I was like, that's so funny, because when I go out with my friends, that actually isn't, we're just dancing the entire time. So we do get drunk and we might be a bit hungover, but actually like the majority of the evening we're on the dance floor and like dancing or singing or being really silly. We're not actually just like concentrated drinking. So I think when people thought about us going out, they were imagining us doing that. And I was like, that's actually not what my nights out look like. They are genuinely like screaming into a microphone, singing. Like sometimes we'll have danced so much that we're sober by the time we get home, because we're like sweated it all out.
Yeah, I think that is something I want to work on a bit, because I do think I still have a thing of like, I don't know, just the way you drink when you're growing up is like, as soon as you've drank something, drink again. Like my Leeds friends, love them, but like I went for a boozy brunch with them like last year, and it was like every time I finished my glass, they were like, again. I was like, guys, don't worry, I'll get drunk, like if you like it's fine. And it's like, it's just so in that mentality of like, how much can you drink? And I feel like it's just a bodily reaction when I'm out. I'm like, oh, I need to get another drink, I need to get another drink. And my tolerance is so high, like I really want to cut back on that, because I've like, it's so, I'll be out at the pub with a friend and I'll see they've had like a couple of pints, and I'm like, I just want to get to the point where it feels very easy and natural, not like I'm pacing myself, not like I'm watching their drink and like matching how much they are, so that the natural thing is to drink less. But it is something I think you have to make a habit.
Yeah, I think I agree. There's this idea that you've got to like get it down you. And also you're right. Yeah. We're going to end up drunk, like no matter what happens. Usually I'm actually like half drunk after the second glass of wine.
Also it's like, I think it's from this, you know, maybe thing when you're younger where you can't afford drinks, so you're like
pre-drink
downing it, and like drinking cider in the park. It literally probably just comes from that, because I was like, okay, I've paid like whatever 30 quid for like bottomless prosecco, but like if I want more later, I could just get another drink, like I'm okay now. So why am I trying to get my money's worth of this thing and then just like lessening how much fun I'm having because I like can't speak as eloquently because of drank so much? It's just stupid. Not that I'm super elegant anyway, but
no, I definitely find myself doing that, and me and my friends have done, especially at bottomless brunches where we've got so smashed we're like, we should be put in a straitjacket, because honestly, like what are we doing?
God, at that thing, my friend, like it was her birthday, she's my best friend, so I feel like I'm really calling her out, but like, it was so funny, she like, we left the bottomless brunch place and she just like immediately like fell over and like smacked her knee, and it's like, it was probably like 1 p.m. like what is the need for that?
What do you feel like, so you're saying you're getting to a cute little routine, you're doing a reading in the morning and you're doing real gymming. How do you feel like how old are you now?
27.
27, oh yeah, because I'm almost 29, oh my God, but it's not that much older. What do you feel like, when I turn 27, I think it's when you start thinking about 30, because it's like, it's coming now. How are you viewing that or approaching that? I'm trying to like, I do think it's changed, but now everyone says your 30s is like the best years, and now it's like 40 is the thing to be worried about. And actually, I'm really excited about 30.
Yeah.
But are you starting to feel this kind of thing of, God, I'm meant to be slowing down, or I'm meant to be changing the way I dress? Am I meant to become more like of a woman in a certain way?
Yeah. I defo have had a lot of weird things where it's, I think, stuff to do with like, oh, am I going to be single forever? Because it's so weird, isn't it? You never think like, it's either like, you're going to meet someone in the next few years or you're single forever. Like, yeah. There's no option of like meeting someone at 45. Like, for some reason, it's like women's lives seem to mentally end when they're like 35 or something. I don't know why. It's like in my head, it's got to happen soon or it's this.
But that's such a good point, because I think it's like we see love only be able to happen up until the point when our eggs have expired, basically.
Yeah.
So it's like, whereas you're so true, especially if you're, for instance, say you didn't want to have children. You should absolutely, what is it Miriam Margulies says, never get married, fuck everyone and buy a house or something like that. Like, you could just be having this much fun up until you're 50 and then be like, right now I'm going to settle down for the last 30 years of my life, which makes way more sense than committing to someone for like however long we're going to live, 60 years. But I agree, I do think that it's like this rush. And I think it's because of this, there is this time limit, like where we're like after 35 everything is like,
I think as well some of it is like makes more sense in the way that I notice less and less single people. Like, if it's like everyone's coupling up for this time limit, but and then, you know, you like every time you see a hot guy, you're like, oh, is he single? Oh, he's been going out with someone for 7 years. You're like, okay, cool. And it just seems to happen more and more. But so in that way, I do feel it in a more rational way. But so I definitely had a little freak out about that. I had a freak out about like, defo Botox, like aging, that kind of thing, starting to notice like small changes in my face. And but then I think recently I have kind of circled it was probably a 6 month freak out, and then I think I'm really starting to enjoy it. And I think it was like, I was literally on a night out in Leeds, and there was like, there's so many students when you go out in Leeds, because it's obviously like three unis, and like this guy, like loads of really young guys were like coming up to me and my friends, and we were like, oh my God, you're so, like you look like a child. And I felt really maternal towards them. And I think I was looking at them as well, like just all, everyone that's out, and I was like, God, I don't want to, that doesn't look that fun anymore. Like, they don't look like they're having much fun. And I just was like, felt so settled with the friends I was at and like the age I was. And I was like, I feel like I'm starting to enjoy it and feeling more in control and knowledgeable. And yeah.
There's so many things I want to respond to that. First of all, like getting older, I've had the same age freak out thing, like an aging, and we'll talk about that. But the thing you're saying, I've had this before on nights out where you meet young men, even men that are like 24. And I'm like, oh. And then you hear about, I don't know, is it like Chris Evans going out with a 19-year-old when he's like, and you're like, how are these men?
Yeah.
Obviously, women, I do think, are more emotionally mature and also probably can make ourselves look older than guys can. Because when guys look young, there's like, you can't really do anything, can you? You just look so young. But I remember going out and finding that so strange. And I'm seeing it, like you see more and more as guys get older, the women they date just get younger and younger. And that really freaks me out.
Yeah, God, I don't know if this is a bit gross, but on that night out, I was like, there was a guy, he started talking to me and I was like, oh, how old are you? And he was like 25. And I was like, okay, it's all right. And then he was cute. But then I got with him and I was like, he's definitely, because it was just, I feel like when you kiss people now, it's never a bad kiss.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel like you've kissed many people. And I was like, oh, I feel horrible. Like, I feel so old and weird. And like, I was just thinking, like, God, when like Leonardo DiCaprio is like getting with these young girls, like they probably don't know how to kiss and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, ew, and you enjoy it, or you don't mind that. Or like, you teach them all these things they don't know that they shouldn't be learning from someone that old. It's so weird.
But I think it's also because not only do we feel like the age gap more greatly because I think we do have that maternal thing and guys maybe look younger, but also we're taught now that we are old. So like, it's like we're at this age now where we should be more mature, whereas guys are always like, especially I think because of this myth that men can kind of procreate eternally up until they're like 95, I think that does feed into some sensibility of like, well, I'm fertile, so like I can be with fertile women, whereas I think we start to feel like, oh well, we're too mature, we're like past the hell of getting with a guy that's such like a young buck. But I still find it weird, like Sienna Miller, love her, my absolute fave, but her boyfriend's 25 and I find that quite weird. But maybe that's me, but I find it all weird, the age gap thing.
It's also one thing I realized, it's like only recently I was like, God, that's a myth that I believe that isn't real, is the idea that men age better than women.
Yeah.
Like that they like just look better, like the Silver Fox thing. Like, because I thought, oh yeah, it's unfair, but like their bone structure, they just look better. But you look at like Helen Mirren or something, it's like she looks exactly as good as a man would. There's no like biological aging difference
it's
in their faces.
It's just being said that men can
look
old.
It's just not sexualized. Oh, like women just... we just see them as sexless when they're old.
But I was even looking at like my sisters, and I feel like they get prettier like every year, and they're both in their mid-30s. And I was like, I remember being worried when I was like 23, 24, being like, oh my God, this is going to be like the best I'll ever look. And it's so weird because you can, even if you don't look older, like even if you don't have visible signs of aging, like wrinkles or whatever, there is something about someone's face where you just know how old they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can tell that I'm 28. It's obvious I'm not 18.
Yeah.
Even if I've wasn't that wrinkly or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And even that in of itself is kind of seen as like less attractive or less than. Mm. And it's weird because I feel like I am starting to worry that when I go into a room, this is a really cringe thing to admit, but you're like, oh God, I'm not like the youngest in the room anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And I think when you do, I don't know, I guess we both probably got like careers when we were young, so it's always like, oh, like I don't know, like if I go on the radio to like talk, it's like young perspective, and it's going to be weird when that isn't like, I can't get away with that anymore. Like I'm 27.
Yeah,
it's also funny with the wrinkles thing, because I like when I see people now that I haven't seen in a few years, I notice like wrinkles, and it's so funny because every time I think they look great.
Yeah,
like I don't know, just a friend I hadn't seen years, and he just had like laughing lines around his eyes, and I was like, oh, it's so hot. And it's so funny how you just don't think those hot things are hot on yourself.
And also I think when you go on Instagram or you watch TV or whatever, or you see people that are in the media, everyone looks very smooth and preened. And I always sit on the tube and I look around at everyone's faces and I'm like, oh my God, everyone has lines. Like it's so normal, no matter how, whether they're like early, you can kind of gauge people's ages. And I was thinking, it's just so unrealistic. Like what we're measuring ourselves against just isn't what people in the world look like or care about. Like I think maybe because we're hyper visible due to like literally being online and photographed and whatever for work, you focus so much more on your face. And I do really notice this aging thing, and it's something I'm trying to figure out, like, do I want to start getting Botox? Yeah. I don't really know what the answer
is. I'm the same, because I kind of get both. I was in a Guardian, I think. What was it, in Refinery 29? There was someone writing an article about where that is. Oh, it was Vicky Spratt. About deciding,
I want to read this.
Yeah,
is it good? Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And like deciding not to get Botox. And I was... Yeah, like they are like markers of the life you've had. And I don't know, I feel like if I got it, then I feel like, oh, I've got it now. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like it does feel like a huge decision. I feel like it's probably good that it feels like a big decision to weigh up whether to get it or not.
It's just, I don't know, it just feels so normalized now that I guess the difference is before it would be like, that was the arena of celebrities and famous people. But now that everyone's getting it done, you kind of feel like you're the odd one out if you don't.
Yeah.
And I know I'm saying everyone very loosely, but I'm saying like lots of the circles that I've been in, even my friendships that aren't like in the media, that loads of my friends, it's just like the next thing you do. It's like something you start doing around 28. Everyone's like, right, time to start getting Botox. Just like add to your repertoire of things that you do.
Yeah.
Do you follow those faces on those pages on Instagram that are called like celeb face?
They come up on my Discover feed.
Yeah, same. And every famous person, like every movie star you can think of, every model, they've all had like nose jobs, like all these tweakments, but over like a really long amount of time. And I look at them and it kind of makes me feel better and worse, because you're like, wow, even these women that you would never expect to have had anything done have actually like very subtly over time all just been morphing. And it's weird because on the one hand I'm like, God, I could do that. And then I'd be like, I was obsessed with getting a nose job for a bit. And then
you
thought,
such an adorable nose.
I just have a weird thing about this bit of my bridge. But then I was thinking, like, everyone's seen my face for so long. Would it be weird then if I changed it?
Yeah.
And then what if I had a daughter and then her nose was like exactly my old nose?
Yeah.
Or something. But I am really like, oh, I do. I'm really, I feel like it's so against everything I'm supposed to believe in. But I like love the idea of getting loads of plastic surgery.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Because like on the one hand, I do feel like I love being glam, and like I love putting loads of makeup on, and it doesn't like oppose anything in that way. But I think it's, for me, it's more Botox rather than like aesthetic thing, because I think that's a real, it's not, I don't know, maybe it's because it's so about aging, it doesn't feel positive almost, like because it's not adding something else to your face. Oh, no, but that doesn't make any sense.
I know what you mean. It can be seen as, we weirdly have put aging in a category where it's like non-cosmetic. So like we're taught to wear all these creams, and like if you think about the way that we're marketed to like do certain things when we're younger, even wearing sun lotion, obviously that is good because of like skin cancers and stuff. But a lot of the reason is aging, and aging is kind of put into this bracket where it's not necessarily about beauty. It's viewed like about health, but actually like it's not unhealthy to have wrinkles.
Yeah.
But you can, and it's a bit like having your teeth done. I was thinking about this recently. I had Invisalign, but that's actually cosmetic, but like children are forced to wear braces from a really young age, and it's really painful. And you don't need to, like, you can have wonky teeth. And I was just thinking the other day about how, for some reason, teeth aren't like, no one bats an eyelid if someone gets their teeth done. But if you said, I'm getting my lips done, I'm getting my Botox, whatever, people would be maybe quicker to judge.
It's so funny as well, once you get something or become aware of something on yourself, like, or like I don't know when I realized, was like, oh fuck, my teeth are so yellow. But it was like, I don't know, I drink like 5 cups of tea a day. I think a friend had gotten hers whitened and I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. And I got them done. God, it was like not one, there was like a thing and it was like 1 to 30 and mine were 27.
What, like, on the colour scale?
Yeah, I was like, bloody hell. But then since then, it's like, all I see is that my teeth are bright yellow. And it's like, people are like, oh, your teeth are really white. Since I've had them done, they don't look white to me. Before, when they were probably quite yellow, I didn't notice it at all. I didn't think they were yellow.
Whenever you're fixated on something, when I was really, really lean and it was quite like disordered and I was doing my bikini competition, I was so self-conscious of my body because I knew every like inch of fat. So I wake up in the morning and be like, oh. And now I look at my body, I'm like, oh, I look great. But I'm like probably like 2 stone heavier than I was then. Don't really notice much things on my body. But when you're like really fixated on something, if it's like an issue, then you can't, it's really hard to, you almost have to like detach yourself from it and not notice it.
Or it's such a mindset thing, isn't it? Because I was feeling quite crappy recently about my body and then I tried on something I bought on Depop and I was like, woo, I look great at the minute. And it's just a complete, like, one thing can just switch either way. And then it's nothing's changed in how I actually look. Or when you come off your period and then you suddenly feel great again, you're like, oh, that wasn't real when I was like saying that I was gonna change my hair. And
but even when I feel really sluggish, if I haven't gone to the gym a few days, I'll go to the gym once and suddenly my head, I look like completely, nothing's gonna have changed. But I think it's like the endorphins from exercising and stuff. And I learned that certain changing rooms will make you feel awful about yourself because the light is horrible and you just look gross. So I'm like, I'm just not gonna try stuff on in those changing rooms, or I'm just not gonna look at myself at certain points. Or like when I'm on my period, I'm really bloated, just don't look at your body, just only let yourself like feel nice. You don't need to like bully yourself by putting yourself in positions where you don't feel good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny, like in some ways bodies are so complex and all that, and then in some ways they're so simple. Like I literally go to the gym and like come out and be like, I'm working on such, do you know what I mean? It's like they're so easy to program in some ways and then so complicated and weird in others.
You, in the book, you talk a lot about your body image and there's bits about like that you talk about your stomach, which I also loved, with your ex and the way that he would kind of really encourage you to love your tummy and it would really confuse you because you'd spent so long being like, but this isn't what I like, and he kind of loved it. And I loved that, like talking about how's your body image, because there's loads of sweet things about your ex, even though it's confusing. How did that change, like, now? How are you feeling about your body now in that way?
I feel like my body image is like held up by a very like architecture where it's like, because I didn't go to the gym for a little while. I've become a weird gym addict. This is a very new development for me, but I didn't go to the gym for a bit, and I was like, it made me realize like how much, like you were saying, it's not like I've managed to get to a point where I just unthinkingly eat. I think I've got to a point where I unthinkingly eat because I'm justifying it because I feel like I deserve it because I've been to the gym.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, like in an ideal world, you just eat what
you
wanted, but
you're allowing yourself to eat it because you're like, I can have this because it's gone. So you're like one step behind eating just intuitively.
Yeah.
You're allowing yourself to have what you want with the justification that you
can. It's like you can't, I feel like I still have the treat mentality. Yeah. And it was just quite weird not going, how much the whole thing sort of fell down a little bit. But it's also like, I don't, God, it's so weird. Like I remember, I think I write about in the book, like I have such a clear memory of like before, like me before I went on a first diet. Cause I think diet culture and stuff came for me really late. Like I went to, like it was only when I was at uni that I started being like, oh, I've noticed my body almost. And I think like for a lot of women, sadly, it's literally when they're like 14. Yeah. But I remember putting on weight in like first year and then being like, this isn't good. It's obviously bollocks. But, and then going on a first diet. And I feel like it's like, once you've done the first one, it's like your brain will never get out of that pattern of thinking. Do you know what I mean? You can get to a point where you're like chill with food, but I still think you are weighing it up in a certain way because you've done those calculations before. Like you can't go back almost. It's like the, what's the thing in like the Garden of Eden?
I know.
The fallen thing. Yeah. It's just like you're just like in the thing. And yeah, so like even if now like I'm very, I eat loads, I'll have like 4 really big portions a day, I'm still like, oh, because the gym.
You're allowed. I know what you mean. It's funny. It's we like, I almost don't talk about bodies that much anymore because it's so complicated. But like, I think it's really like interesting and important to say stuff like this because so many people still do struggle. And I think we're living in like a post-diet culture, inverted commas, world where no one feels like they're able to kind of admit if they're still feeling pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
To like do certain things. The other day I had like a bit of a bloated tummy. So I was like, oh, I can't wear like a tight dress. And then I was like, yeah, you can. You just have a bit of a tummy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just went out with it. And for some reason I was like, because I do, I can be quite like have a flat tummy sometimes, but it was bloated. So normally I would dress to like hide that. And I was like, just go out with it. And then I was like, actually, that's quite cute. And then I was like, why does this matter? Like no one's looking. And it like, it was like the first time that I'd ever just decided just to like let my body be and not try and make it look right in inverted commas, you know what I mean? And that was like a new thing for me because I can be quite like, I'm really good about, I don't mind my body, but I'll be conscious of how I show it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely. I feel like, sadly, like most women do just have issues with food.
Yeah.
And they kind of vary on a scale. Like I would say that I am like, do really love the way I look and I'm confident, but I think there's still massive issues I have that I probably won't ever grow out of.
Do you think ever?
No, I don't know. Like, not, I mean, I think I'm so much further ahead than, like, say, my mum, who'd be like, you know, just, I feel like it's more normal for our mum's generation to not like the way they look. And I don't feel like that. I feel so confident and hot, like, most of the time. But I think I'll never, I don't think I'll ever not be really aware of how I look or if I, you know, go through phases of putting on, I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I'll feel chill.
I think most women have some form of like, not everyone, but a lot of women have some form of disordered eating and just over time, it just becomes so second nature that it basically like, it doesn't control you. You just have learned how to control it.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's true. And I see it a lot with like women. They just, everyone has their own like weird ways of.
Yeah. It's interesting as well, like how, what women have to do to feel okay and like how different we all are. Because like I saw this thing and it was like an influencer and it made me feel more settled before Christmas. It was like, it just came on my Discover feed and basically she had like a big box of celebrations and she was like, if you eat like loads over Christmas, it's not going to make you put on loads of weight. Like to put on loads of weight, you'd have to eat like however many to put on whatever gram of fat. Like it's not, if that's what you're stressed about, that's not a thing. And I put it on the group chat. I was like, don't want to freak anyone out. Like, but this made me feel more soothed.
Yeah.
But then I obviously freaked everyone out. No, I freaked out one friend who was like, I don't like it when they talk about anything to do with dieting or weight around Christmas. Like it should just be a non-topic. And I was like, yeah, that makes complete sense. And then another friend was like, oh, that made me feel, I just ate like a whole like square of galaxy that made me feel really chill. And it's just funny how individual it is and how careful you have to be.
Well,
we all have our own coping mechanisms to deal with like the shitty diet culture thing.
But I feel like I've been through such like bad disordered eating like back and forth over the years, and I feel like I'm so relaxed about food. I go out, eat what I want, do what I want, and then they put calories on the menu and all of a sudden, because when I go out to eat, I will eat anything. I'll have three courses, I'll have the whatever, but the minute I can see, I didn't know, I felt like I'd evolved. I was so proud of myself. And now when I go out, I see it and I try so hard not to look at it, but I'm like, I just automatically will be like, well, I'm not gonna have that, because that's like, especially when it's something that you don't know. I don't want to know how many calories and things when you're out, but like I'll want to order something and then it'll turn out to have loads of calories, and I'm like, I wish I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I really don't need to know that.
It's interesting as well, like you having a thing of like, oh, when I go out to eat, I'll do this, because like even that, even though it's like a health, like a very sustainable like form of like working out where your like boundaries are, but it's still like putting a boundary on. Do you know what I mean? Because like I remember like before I went on a diet being like, oh, I'm in the mood for a chocolate bar, I'll have a chocolate bar. I'm in the mood for like soup. Like I didn't think, and I just think you can't not think. Again, you can intuitively eat in the sense you're like aware that you're intuitively thinking, but you're still like aware of it. It's still like a structure.
Yeah, so true.
It's so annoying.
It is annoying. But maybe we don't ever like, I don't know what the answer is. It's really confusing, because even then when you're like, so sometimes as well people like eat intuitively, but like you said, then I'm like, do I intuitively want to have that? And then I'm like, if I ate intuitively, wouldn't I just eat all day? Would I not? When would I stop? And like, I think sometimes you do have to be, I don't know, it's basically mindful. I think the less you think about it, the better.
Yeah.
But then thinking about not thinking about it less makes you think about it. So you just have to like, no thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so confusing.
Okay, tell me, this is kind of like the idea, but when it comes to your timelines, where were you imagining that you would be at 27? Is it different from where you are now? How, like, what little things have unfolded that maybe you wouldn't have expected? And do you have any plan? Do you have a 5-10 year plan? Are you that kind of person? Or are you just looking forward to finding out, fucking around and finding out?
Yeah, I feel like I would be so gassed if I saw like my life now. Aww. I think it was so cool. I think I probably would have thought I had a boyfriend. But like, I think like sometimes, you know, when you do that thing where you imagine like what your 16-year-old self would think about your life, like even when I'm doing chaotic things, like crying over a guy that like I went on a few dates with or something, I'm like, oh my God, I'm crying over a guy I went on a few dates with. Like, you know, you can always romanticize it and be like, just seeing it as so dramatic. Or like, if I'm like, oh my God, like I haven't done any work on Monday or Tuesday because I feel crap from the weekend, and I'm like in bed, like with a laptop. I don't know, just like, I feel like my life, I just think it's cool and fun. So that's really nice. I think I'm trying to write fiction at the minute, which is really fun.
Can you tell us about it or not? Have you started?
No, I'm so like vague at the minute.
But
yeah, that's been cool. And I'm really enjoying that in the sense, I think I haven't like learned a new skill in a while, and like being like, I'm actually doing that, like that's actually happened. It's been a really satisfying feeling. Yeah, in the next few years, what was I thinking? I really want to have, I would love to have, you know, when people hire like workspaces, I would love to have like an off, my desk is like right next to my bed and I have this disgusting office chair that like is comfy. Just like, I just hate having work like literally next to, I would love to have like an office, like I could go in where there's other people co-working. What else? I would love to like continue becoming less crazy with men, like, because I feel like you can't, I like now it's like, it's so stupid to be like, oh, I want a boyfriend or whatever. Like I want to react better to situations and be, yeah, like I've gotten so much better at like approaching people when I'm out and like being like flirting with them in that way. I think that's really fun, and just not letting it completely knock me on the floor if I get rejected.
I feel like you're doing such good like market research though, because you've been dating and single for like 3 years. I think that by the time that you, when that person, whoever they may be, comes along, I think you'll be like so ready for it.
Yeah, so. I think so. Yeah, and just continue going out and having fun, maybe a bit less fun.
That's me this year. I'm like, I'm gonna have less fun. Yeah. But I'm still having fun, not having fun. Turns out you have fun in lots of different ways.
I mean, like, you know, when you just like are in on a Friday and you've just got like a really good show to watch and it's so delicious just thinking about staying in.
I know. I've realized that as well. Just actually doing nothing is really good fun. Thank you so much for joining me. I love this chat. We kind of got it all around the houses, but I think it's been really nice. Do you have anything else that you want to tell anyone about that you want to point towards?
No, just read my column.
Buy your book.
Buy my book. Yeah, that's it probably.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me.
No, I had the best time.
And thank you everyone for listening. I will see you next week. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.